12 to 19, and I'm sure you recognize this is the preparation for the Sermon on the Mount, which starts tomorrow. Brief in Luke compared to Matthew. We'll talk about that. I want to go on looking at this letter to the Corinthians, as we've been doing. Now, in Corinthians 2, 1 Corinthians, we're in chapter 6. We're getting now into the questions, the reports that Paul had heard about Corinth. We have this today, we have this one about lawsuits. Tomorrow there'll be this, you know, I'm so free and I'm so holy that I can do what I want with my body. And the whole thing about lust, unchastity, and so forth. And today, we have this one that affects the whole body of the church. And it's interesting, again, to watch the way Paul deals with this. We need to grasp what it means to always have a faith vision of what we're dealing with. So here's this little community of Christians in Corinth, and they're fighting with each other. They're suing each other. Now, we know what all that's about. You know, I don't know if it's still true that in Washington here there's 7 lawyers for every 1 person or something like that. I mean, this is, you know, happy hunting ground for lawyers who are not always models of restraint and respect. And I mean, they're in this for money. And it's one of the indications of the corruption of our culture. However, we'll worry about that later. Now we got to talk about our Christians, about ourselves. Huh? How can any one of you with a case against another dare to bring it to the unjust for judgment instead of to the holy ones? Now, just because he's a judge doesn't mean he or she is upright. We have marvelous examples of corrupt people, people who use their position in law and their training to push their agenda. They're not judging according to the law at all. They're judging according to their own agenda. And we see this every day. And some of the people who suffer most from this are the people who are demonstrating one way or the other regarding the murder of abortion. And they're brought before judges who treat them unjustly. So he's saying, are you so dumb that you think that those who don't know Christ, who have not been touched by the Holy Spirit, are going to solve a case between you two? Don't you know that the holy ones, believe it or not, that's us, will judge the world? If the world is to be judged by you, are you unqualified for the lowest law courts? I mean, Joe still owes Harry $5,000. Isn't there anyone among you who could help these two resolve this? What are you going to non-believers for? Force the, you know, get the government to force Joe to pay? Do you not know that we will judge angels? Probably referring to the moment of the last great judgment when we will see the justice of the condemnation of Satan. So why not everyday matters? If therefore you have courts for everyday matters, do you sit as judges of people of no standing? I say this to shame you. Look, it can happen in a community that says there's a problem, there's a difference. How do you resolve it? And so he goes on, as you know, to talk about that. Then he says, brand new idea, why not rather put up with injustice? Why not let yourselves be cheated? Instead, you inflict injustice and cheat and this to brothers. So suppose you lose the $5,000, but you win your brother. Jesus lost all his blood to win you. You see, he doesn't look at these things only on one level. He sees them in the light of God and in the power of the redemption that Jesus won for us. Do you not know that the unjust will not inherit, will not enter into that full reign rule of God forever? They won't. And you see where his mind always is? It's on the ultimates. It's on the ultimates. Surely we can work this out. Yes, surely we can. But only in the light of the risen Jesus Christ, who has called us to heaven, to eternal life. Then he goes on, don't be deceived, neither fornicators or idolaters or adulterers or boy prostitutes, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor slanderers, nor robbers will inherit the kingdom of God. You got it? And now he comes back to the point. That is what some of you used to be. But now you have had yourselves washed. You were sanctified. God himself took up his abode in you. You are living now, you see, a life supported, sustained, now and forever by the very life of God. That's who you are. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, you were made righteous in God's sight by Jesus Christ. You are in him, and you are righteous and justified. God looks on you with delight because he has given you the life of his Son and in the Spirit of our God. Now, the next time we have a problem, in the home or in the community, stop and say, with whom are we dealing? We are dealing with people who have been bought with the blood of Christ, like myself. Is there no way we can work this out? Is there no way that we don't have the resources? And suppose in all of this, you put up with a little injustice. Is that going to hurt so much? You see, Paul is now beginning to try to open us up. Understand who you are and where you're going. And understand who your brothers and sisters are and where they're going. So when, because of our weakness and stupidity and sinfulness, we have a problem, work it out among yourselves in the power of the Holy Spirit. And for the love of God, don't go find a law court. Can't you work these things out? Think of who you are and where you're going. Suppose Joe loses the $5,000 and wins over his brother for all eternity. Is that so bad? We are so self-centered that the minute something's wrong with us, the universe has to stop until we have vengeance. And the Lord is telling us through Paul, think of what I've done for you and who you are.